Hey there, podcast family. T-Bone here to talk about the 3D Dentist Digital Implant Continuum. Are you ready to start placing dental implants, but feeling a bit hesitant and or overwhelmed? I know that feeling. I've been there. Let's change that together. Imagine not just learning about dental implants in a classroom, but actually performing surgeries on real patients right here in North Carolina, guided every step of the way by our expert 3D mentors. This is dental implant learning at its best, using techniques that are safe, predictable, and confidence-boosting. They're exactly what I use in my own practice, so you know they work. Our course goes beyond clinical skills. We prepare you to successfully integrate high-demand implant services into your practice, transforming your career by attracting new patients and elevating your practice. And it doesn't end with the course. Completing our program is just the beginning of a new journey. You'll be a part of a community of confident, skilled dentists with ongoing support to ensure lasting success and growth. After all, this is about mastering a skill that can transform your career, just like it did for me. So, are you ready to take your practice to the next level? Visit www.3d-dentist.com, check out our upcoming sessions, and join us to revolutionize your practice. 3D Dentist is truly committed to helping dentists take control of their practice, finances, and future. Now let's get back to this week's episode.
Welcome to T-Bone Speaks with Dr. Tarun Agarwal, where our goal is to change the way you practice dentistry by helping you achieve clinical, financial, and personal balance. Now, here's your host, T-Bone.
And welcome back to another week, another episode of the T-Bone Speaks podcast. And I want to thank you for tuning in on a weekly basis. I want to welcome our new listeners. Our numbers are slowly but surely climbing up. We have passed the 100 review mark, but we need more. So I need you to do me a favor. It motivates me and keeps me going. And this week, we're going to be visiting with Dr. Matt Standridge, and we're going to talk about building orthodontics in your general dentist practice. But before, I want to introduce my lovely bodyguard,
slash co-host, slash nanny,
slash personal assistant,
plus slash 3D,
health coach, workout partner.
Yeah,
man. I think you should just move into the house.
I said that during quarantine. I was like, if I wasn't married, me and Taylor, we could just build a shed out back.
Yeah, just come on.
Live in the basement. No one would know we were here.
You'd have a kitchen and everything. Yeah. All right, so Meredith, what we got on the docket?
All right, so I have a review I'm going to read. You guys head over if you have any extra time to leave us a review. This one is from the Jerganator. I don't know why that makes me cackle.
It's somebody that used a lot of Jergen shampoo.
No, Jergens isn't shampoo.
Yeah, it is. Isn't it? Is it lotion?
Yeah.
Whatever.
Okay, so they said it's the pearls. Always walk away learning something I can use immediately. Thank you.
That's good.
Yeah. So if you guys have any free time, go there, leave us a review, wherever you listen to your podcast. If you have any questions, you can head over to asktbone.com. We'll be happy to answer your questions, maybe live, maybe that, on a podcast.
That telephone number is 510-698-2663. And you can be one of the very few people who calls me, and I would love for more people to call.
I think if you want to call me, you can call 855-332-2285. Let's see who gets more calls.
Well, you get more calls because more people call about the courses than call
me. Let's see. I think people are scared to call you. They want to call me.
Whatever.
Okay.
Whatever. Come on.
So call me.
Call me. All right. Enough. Let's get to this week's episode where we're going to be visited by Dr. Matthew Standridge. Matt, what's up?
How's it going, brother?
COVID elbows.
That's right.
Damn it. The shit needs to go away.
It does.
Quick.
It's gone. Like Carolina Beach, gone. Protest, gone.
No, it's everywhere.
COVID's
it's
gone.
Uptick. Anyway, yeah. I don't want to talk about COVID. I'm tired of that nonsense. Matt, welcome. How are you doing today?
My pleasure. Thank you.
My pleasure. So why don't we start by learning a little bit about Dr. Matt Standridge. So Matt, why don't you tell me a quick synopsis of who you are, where you're at, and a little bit of your story.
Yeah, you bet. So graduated 2010 from UMKC, and I practice.
Go Ruse!
Fighting Ruse! graduated there, and then I'm currently practice in Yates Center, Kansas. It's a very small rural town, kind of in the southeast area of the state. A couple hours away from Kansas City, a couple hours away from Wichita.
Well, we knew you weren't from here when you said you bet. You weren't from around here, y'all.
So
that's coming from somebody whose husband uses the word slew. You got a slew of masks over there. Okay.
Just like last slew of shrimp. So. Yeah.
Unbelievable.
So I practice in a very small rural town and have a little 4-op office, but we do a lot of advanced procedures. One of them, the most enjoyable for me and one of the biggest game changers in my practice was orthodontics. And so, and I have a wife, Sarah Joy, and a daughter, Hazel, and, you know, life is good.
Life is good. You know, a lot of people don't look at rural America as a great place to practice.
Right.
What would you say to somebody that that has that belief that you can't do advanced dentistry in a small? I mean, and by the way, when you say small town, like how small are we talking?
Yeah, we're at like 1,300 people, like 1,300 people in the entire town and around 3,000 people in the entire county. Yeah.
Wow, so that's like the town I wanted you to buy, like Schitt's Creek. Matt, we're going to buy your town.
So yeah, are you saying Matt lives in Schitt's Creek?
Yeah. Okay.
Anyway, so when you say advanced procedures, what are you referring to?
I'm talking about orthodontics, both cosmetics and comprehensive orthodontics, implant dentistry, either from single teeth to implant locator, implant dentures, all the way to fixed arts.
So the wide range of implant dentistry.
Wide range of implant dentistry, oral sedation. We do a lot. And hopefully, and now that we've taken Aaron's course, sleep course, now we're wanting to bring in sleep as
Thanks
well.
Thanks for the plug. So. 3D dentist, Aaron Elliott. We do phenomenal sleep apnea training, now virtual and in person.
Yeah.
So, all right. So what led you to Yates Center, and talk to me about what some of the things that we talked about in the car today.
Yeah. So I love where I'm at, and I don't want to seem unappreciative by any means, right? I love where I'm at, and things have worked out to our favor, but I mean, we kind of let circumstances drive where we ended up. And it's not like I necessarily had a clear vision. Because graduating dental school, I really didn't know. I didn't know what I liked in dentistry. Mm-hmm. I worked public health, and I knew I didn't want to do that for the rest of my career. And so I didn't really know what really clicked with me in doing dentistry. And also, I didn't quite know where I wanted to live and all of that stuff. So coming back to Kansas, I bought an office in my hometown that was abandoned so I could get it for cheap. And my parents were looking to move back to that area. I wanted to be close to them. I kind of knew that. But everything else, we just kind of like, we let our circumstances dictate where we went. And it's not like I necessarily had a clear vision.
Okay.
So if I had to do it over again, I would probably, maybe instead of going to public health, and it was nice having a steady job and all that stuff, but it's not like I was just doing extractions and big fillings. It's not like I was learning dentistry or comprehensive dentistry and all that stuff. And so in a way that kind of held me back. And if I had to do it over again, I'd probably look at really trying to broaden my clinical skills through a quality associateship and trying to learn as much as I can and be an asset to that office as much as I could for a good few years, probably at least 3 years. So that way I could figure out who I was and what jived with me, and then I could make a plan. Because when you graduate dental school, you don't know who you are, you don't know what you like to do, and all that stuff. So in hindsight, I would have kind of focused a little bit on that more.
Yeah, you know, I think what stuck out to me when we were on the way to your class this morning was you said, I didn't have a vision, and I ended up in Yates Center, and it's worked out for me.
Right.
But what stuck out to me was how important a life vision is.
Yes.
When we make these decisions.
Right.
And I find now that, you know, more and more people are making decisions based on their financial situation mm-hmm. versus taking a little bit of a more long-term approach.
Absolutely.
And making a life decision.
Yeah.
You know? And to me, it's super important to, you know, to create a little bit of flexibility,
mm-hmm.
you know, maybe take an associateship for a year or two, mm-hmm. figure out what kind of family you are, you know, what kind of lifestyle you want to live, you know, what kind of environment you want to be in,
right.
and then make that plunge into ownership. And because mm-hmm. once you buy, yeah. it's not like you can't leave, but right. it's not like it's right. easy to leave. You
right.
know,
yeah.
my dad always said to me, it's easy to buy, hard to sell.
Yes.
You know,
absolutely.
And so, you know, I think if you're not clear about where you're at, give yourself that opportunity or that flexibility mm-hmm. to be able to move.
Yeah.
But if you're crystal clear, like, I want to move back to this city mm-hmm. because I love the beach and that's mm-hmm. what it is, then go for it. Okay.
Right.
But if you're not sure, mm-hmm. if you're not bought into a town,
mm-hmm.
I don't think you necessarily own. I think you associateship. Maybe, you know, in a perfect world, maybe you live in a central location and do a couple of jobs in different places.
Right.
So you can learn what that's like and, mm-hmm. and get clear on that.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's super important to kind of have that vision of where you want it. Meredith, you're from here. I mean,
yeah, I think, I know for a fact, we have a lot of young listeners, a lot of people in dental school listening, just graduated from mm-hmm. dental school in our millennial mm-hmm. mastermind. And the way you put the associateship was like such good advice. I think people look at it the other way around.
Right.
It's just a job I'm helping someone else, where you said, I should have done an associateship and learned as much as I could have,
mm-hmm.
you know, taken mm-hmm. in everything, learned advanced procedures, used mm-hmm. that time before kind of planting your feet and figuring out where you want to be permanently.
Right. Right.
And that, I thought that was really good advice.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, so now we're in Yates Center, Kansas.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You're in rural America. You're in a place where most people think you can't do this type
right.
of debt, you're just going to do yeah. big fillings.
Right.
Nobody can afford anything. Do you take my insurance? And, you know, it's all C patients
mm-hmm.
or C, you know, site
ABC.
C,
yeah.
ABC
yeah.
type patients. Yeah. But what you're telling me is it's not that.
Right.
Yeah. So talk to me about how you got into advanced dentistry in the small town.
So, you know, looking at the, I always look at, I'm a stickler for learning, you know, I'm a geek on that. So I just love learning, but, I look at the market, I look at the demographic, but I look at the market and kind of like how you've talked about growing through adding services. I look around and I see what services are not being provided currently.
Right.
And then I go learn about it. And that's how I've grown. And it kind of started with ortho.
Good. That was your first advanced procedure?
Yeah.
Because you had an interest in it.
I had an interest in it, and I could see the benefits of moving a little bit of teeth. It was more cosmetic-focused mm-hmm. ortho. That's where I started. I started with Rick DePaul, Power Prox, mm-hmm. and all that stuff. That's where I started. And then I get my feet wet with that, and then I start to learn the limitations. But it opened my eyes to diagnosing ortho, seeing malocclusions, mm-hmm. all that stuff. So then I would start referring. Because I was more aware, I was referring more.
Right.
But where I'm at, like, there's no specialists around, right? And so if I refer someone, it's going to be usually at least an hour drive away, hour and a half drive away.
So some of it was by necessity.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because I would be referring these, especially kids, I'd be referring orthodontics out, and I see them 6 months later and they're still not bracketed up or anything like that. Nothing's changed. And I ask the parents, well, you know, did you go see them? And like, well, yeah, but it's going to take 2 years and we can't take that much time off of school and work to drive
an hour each
two
way.
Hours yeah. round trip,
like,
you know,
plus the waiting time.
Exactly.
And, all yeah. and when you're going to go that far, you're going to have to plan a little extra time. I don't
you
mean
make a day out
you
of
might,
it.
You might yeah. have a lot of sheep in the road, you know,
yeah.
like traffic jam.
Get behind
kidding.
The traffic.
No, but if no, you're, go, but if you're going into town, you might hit the mall and
yeah.
get lunch.
And hit
so that's
Costco
a whole day.
Or Sam's Club and
right.
all that stuff.
Okay. So there's some some level of necessity.
Right.
Okay. But there's also a desire because at the end of the day, you got to build a practice, right?
Right.
So there's a level of necessity because you want to serve your community.
Right.
But there's also that realization that really the real way to grow your practice is through advanced procedures.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly. And it, so it became like, okay, well, if I'm here, I'm going to grow where I'm planted.
Okay.
Right. And so how do I do that? And without having to be on roller skates doing fillings all day.
Right.
And
roller that skates. Is... We should put you on roller skates one day.
Who, me?
Yes.
No, how about the one wheel?
We'll push you to each other.
But wait, didn't that dentist get in trouble for riding a one wheel around his office?
That one did. But you look at Grutter, he zips around his office on a one wheel all the time. He's just not working on patients. You can.
Oh,
go.
He was on patient. Well, I guess if
you're on a patient, you're going to get in trouble for that too.
Yeah.
Well, if you're on roller skates, you wouldn't take them off when you get to the door. I mean, COVID times now, you might.
Yeah, but I don't know. All right. So why don't we move the discussion towards orthodontics?
Right.
Okay. So your passion and your love is more around the orthodontics and helping GPs enjoy orthodontics.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
What I want to tell you is I want to do orthodontics because I enjoy it. It's certainly less backbreaking than doing fillings and crowns. Mm-hmm. It's a procedure that can be more delegatable to assistants.
Right.
But it comes with a sense of frustrations of, especially in the clear aligner world, where cases aren't going well and things like that. So talk to us about... why is it important for general dentists to provide orthodontic therapy?
Mm-hmm. So it's just a great service for patients. And depending on what you want to do, even if you just focus on adult cosmetic, you know, you have people who have relapsed, you know, have had previous ortho before, but they've crowded up, they didn't wear their retainer, all that stuff.
Meredith, I just raised my hand because I lost. When you move in college four times, you know, every year, you lose your retainers, okay?
Sure. And your dog ate it too,
yeah,
right?
I don't have a dog, but if I did, for sure.
Your husband ate it.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's the cosmetic aspect of it and people enjoying their smiles. There's the health aspect of it, getting teeth in a proper position and making more cleansable, more periodontal stable, you know, all of that stuff. And malocclusions, depending on what study or what resource you talk about, 75% of America has some sort of malocclusion. So there's plenty of crowded teeth or jacked up teeth for everybody
jacked
to work.
Up.
Jacked up. And so there's plenty of that. And it's in every GP's office. Mm-hmm. And you get why I love, I'm so glad I stayed GP versus going into a specialty, is you get to be picky and choosy on what you decide to do. But I really do think that it's a great service to the patient. It helps both cosmetics and stability, function, health, all that stuff. But also it can be profitable and it can be fun for the team to do because any level of orthodontics, however you decide, it's going to be a team-driven approach.
You know, it's funny you say profitable, and I know some of us who do clear aligner therapy and stuff say, oh, it's not as profitable, blah, 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 this lab bill, all this. But I want people to understand the two most profitable specialties in dentistry are oral surgery and orthodontics. They're neck and neck with each other.
Right.
So there is something about that procedure that is profitable.
Right.
And so if you're not profitable in orthodontics, it's probably not because orthodontics isn't profitable. It's probably because of either the way you're doing it or how you're approaching it or the volume of cases that you're doing. So you had mentioned that you have a pretty decent number for a GP, pretty damn good number for a GP of active cases under your belt currently.
Right.
Not the number of cases that you've completed, but the number of cases you have currently. How do you go from zero cases or one or two cases here and there? What are some of the steps that got you to that level of where you're doing five, six, seven cases or eight cases a month? What gets you to that level?
Right. So, you know, for the listeners, if you're wondering how many active cases is where I'm at about 60 active cases right now. Now, that's a that's a mixture between...
That doesn't mean 60 a month. What that means is average case is probably 6 to 12 months, right? So that's probably 5, 6 cases a month. And it's just a rolling average.
Yeah, exactly. And so... And so for doctors, the biggest thing first is going through some training and getting your eyes open, because I don't know if folks are, my experience in dental school is we didn't receive much of any ortho training whatsoever, especially nothing that you could actually apply, right? You might have learned some, hypotheticals and, you know, some principles, but you don't, you'd never know how to apply it.
Well, and part of that is also that we learned it in dental school and then we didn't do it in our practice until a few years in or whatever it is. And at that point you forgot or it's changed. And quite frankly, I believe in dental school, they teach you the most complicated way to do things because they're trying to set up every case for perfection.
Right.
And as you talked about in my health episode, perfection is the
perfection is the enemy of progress.
So talk to us. You got the, why is it important to understand, and you put so much emphasis on this in your program, is why is it so important to have an emphasis on diagnosis?
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Hey, podcast family, T-Bone here. Are you a dentist looking to elevate your practice and profits? Then pay close attention. Introducing the 3D Business Mastermind, the dental business coaching program designed for dentists who want to see real results. I've walked the path of practice ownership for nearly 25 years. I know your challenges. I felt your pain. This is your opportunity to overcome the chaos, the busyness, and the financial frustrations of owning a dental practice. Imagine a dental practice where your appointment book is highly productive, doing the dentistry you enjoy, your team is self-motivated, and your profits keep climbing. That's what the 3D Business Mastermind is all about. In this exclusive mastermind, you'll join a league of ambitious dentists driven to elevate their practices. You'll gain access to proven strategies, personalized coaching, and a community that understands your journey. So if you're ready to supercharge your dental practice and enjoy the success you deserve, visit www.3d-dentists.com and take the first step towards a brighter future in dentistry by filling out the 3D Business Mastermind application. Now, let's get to this week's episode.
Really, it really reminds me of the Stephen Covey quote from Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, begin with the end in mind. Yeah. And, well, we don't really know where we're going until we have a clear vision of where we're at currently, okay? And so that's why diagnosis to me is so important and is a cornerstone of my teaching because... and that was built from a necessity for myself because I went through these continuums. I went through these certifications, different aligner certifications, quick braces, 6 month braces type stuff. And they kind of teach you their system and they teach you their plug and play system, which can be great. But you're learning that system, but you're not learning orthodontics and you're not learning how to view cases. You don't know truly how this stuff works. You're relying on the system. And if something goes wrong, you don't know what to do.
And I would argue it's not that you don't even know what to do. You don't often understand why
exactly
it happened.
100%.
You know, and like we do, like today in today's class, you put up a case, and I was joking with my Dr. Fiza in the back, and I said, yeah, we would just do that case. And then the more you went through it, I was like, no wonder some of my cases don't work, right? And how do I recognize that? And, you know, Meredith, talk to us about some of the frustrations that we felt. Because, and let's give some context. Meredith, prior to being the 3D goddess.
this is a new title.
Before being that, part of that was you helped build our ortho department in our practice. Some of the frustrations that we felt with some of the aligner cases, and it's not against aligners. Yeah. I think it's all about, because as Matt will say, aligners move teeth. You just have to understand how they work.
Right.
So I think exactly what you were saying is something would go wrong and we weren't sure why, and then we would feel defeated and we'd get frustrated and we'd be like, another refinement. But we still weren't fixing what was wrong,
right?
Because we didn't understand why or how to change that. Mm-hmm. And so then it would put a bad taste in our mouth for another case that would come in that was similar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where if we would have
like,
known,
oh, we shouldn't do that.
Yeah, because remember what happened with so-and-so. Mm-hmm. And sometimes with aligners, it is user error because you really can't gauge how much and how long people are wearing their trays.
And so
every case is very different.
And you know, and this is not a knock on any particular aligner company, but I think what's happened is the cartoon makes it, and that's what I call the simulation and all of that, is the cartoon says everything's possible.
Right.
Right.
But the physics doesn't always work out that way.
Yeah, I call it a cartoon, I call it a video game.
Right.
But just because your character can jump that high on the screen doesn't mean that it's going to happen in real life. Yeah. So
you know, that's important. So I think the other thing that we have to realize is, how do I say this politically correct?
You politically correct?
There's no such thing.
Well, it's post-COVID T-bone, and we got a lot going on in the world. I don't want to say we should argue or compete with orthodontists, but at the same time, I think general dentists should send a message out to patients that there are distinct advantages for adults to choose general dentists. Mm-hmm. Because number one, most adults have wear and tear on their teeth.
Right.
So for what I'm seeing in our practice, the majority of our cases aren't just tooth movement. Mm-hmm. They're tooth movement with some type of bonding afterwards, some type of edge bonding, some type of whitening, some type of shaping and all of that. Mm-hmm. And I think no one is better for that with adults than the general dentist.
Right.
Because instead of shipping patients to multiple places, we can plan with the cosmetic end in mind.
Right.
You know, level up the gingivals and leave the bonding so that we can do the bonding to level up the edge versus leveling up the edge and then having to do surgery to fix the
surgical
tissue
crown lengthening. You know,
Yeah. So I think that we have to do a little bit more of the messaging to the consumer that there are instances where a general dentist with good training is a better solution than an orthodontist. And I'm probably going to get a hate mail for it. Okay. In fact, the number they can call for the hate mail is 510-698-2663.
Yeah, you can call him for that one, not me. I was going to actually mention something very similar to that a majority, maybe not majority, but a good portion of our cases, when you were saying you were offering other advanced procedures, and I think that we do have a lot of doctors who do other advanced procedures, but not ortho. And a lot of our ortho was done in preparation for other advanced procedures. We did a ton of ortho before placing implants. We did a ton of ortho before a larger cosmetic case. It's like you wanted to move those teeth out just a little bit before putting porcelain on those teeth. So not offering the ortho, yes, we still could have done the case. We could have had a good result, but this gave an even better, great result.
Yeah, and I use a patient. You remember our patient named Randy, tall guy. You know, I always talk about him a little bit because he was a person that was congenitally missing a lateral incisor. Mm-hmm. The root was in that space. Mm-hmm. Implant wasn't an option. Nobody wants to do a 3-unit bridge on the front on somebody that's aesthetically driven. Mm-hmm. And for the traditional dentist, Randy would have had to see an orthodontist, a surgeon, and the restorative dentist / general dentist. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And Randy sticks in my mind because he is the patient that really started my journey down complete dentistry, complete care, where because let's think about it. Randy wanted to replace his missing tooth and get a little bit better smile.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. $5,000 orthodontist, $3,000-$4,000 oral surgeon, $6,000-$7,000 dentist. Mm-hmm. Unaffordable.
Yeah. Right.
Right.
Right. So learning those skills, being able to put brackets on to upright a root, a couple of 3 millimeters, putting brackets on and doing that, 5 to 6 months, 6 months of orthodontics in my office at a cost of brackets, then being able to put the implant in myself. All of that stuff suddenly made a case that would have been $12,000-$13,000. We were able to get that into the $9,000 ballpark and keep the patient in one spot and be able to make financial arrangements, because otherwise, and that's a big component of it. Otherwise, the patient has to make financial arrangements at the orthodontist office, financial arrangements at the oral surgeon's office / periodontist office, and then financial arrangements at the general dentist office. And that's why I think our profession as general dentists need to get the message out that in specific cases, they are better off being treated by general dentists. And part of my goal at 3D Dentists is helping general dentists get good at what I call ACO, adult cosmetic orthodontics, and helping them understand what cases they should tackle and how to get the result in the most predictable and profitable way. And what's important to me on in the ACO concept is not pigeonholing somebody to just aligners or just brackets, but giving people the education of both. You know, and that's one of the things that we're hopefully working with Matt on, is developing a ACO program, adult cosmetic orthodontics, where we can learn diagnosis and fundamentals with an eye on keeping yourself out of trouble, learn aligner techniques, you know, diagnosis, understanding how to adjust the cartoon, when to prescribe different things, attachments, plastic movements, understanding bracket therapy, and understanding how to get patients to accept treatment. And we're excited to be offering that program, hopefully by early 2021. And because it is such an amazing procedure to offer to your patients. And I'm not, at this point, trying to teach people to take on that. I'm not trying to compete with orthodontists. I'm not. I'm trying to spread a message that adult orthodontics is often better done by general dentists with good training who will know their limitation.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Hello, podcast family. T-Bone here, bringing you our newest live patient implant training, Full Arch Express. For dentists already placing implants and ready to level up and continue building their implant practice, this is the golden ticket. We're diving deep into full arch implants, the hottest game changer in implant dentistry. In this program, we tackle both overdentures and all-on-X fixed hybrids, mastering techniques that are essential for modern, comprehensive dental care. It's about getting your hands on the tools and techniques that will replace the doubt and fear with confidence and predictability. Here's the kicker. There's live patient training right here in North Carolina. You're not just learning theories. You're in the operatory doing real work on real patient from start to finish, guided one-on-one by our expert 3D mentors. You'll learn the nuances of each approach, ensuring you can cater to a wide range of patients to maximize revenue. Speaking of revenue, with me, you know it's not just about the clinical skills. We're bringing business into this aspect too, teaching you how to integrate these advanced services profitably into your practice. So are you ready to rise up to the top in implant dentistry? Join us at the Full Arch Express. This isn't just another course, it's a career-defining leap. Head to www.3d-dentist.com to enroll in our next session. 3D Dentist is truly committed to helping dentists take control of their practice, finances, and future. Now, back to this week's episode.
And I actually want to compound on that a little bit, because if we think about not only shuffling the patients to the orthodontist, to the oral surgeon and all that stuff, how many points are we not only barriers to the patients, but areas for miscommunication, for the ball to be dropped, basically.
And ultimately, and it ends up on us, right?
It ends up on us, but if...
losing their trust.
The orthodontist doesn't get what you need from them, because they either things weren't communicated properly, or just it wasn't done to what you asked for or whatever. And then that being shutting off to the surgeon, it just creates this muddled... It just really muddies the waters, I mean... Right. Compared to if you have a highly trained GP that can do not just the restorative, but the orthodontics and the oral surgery, or at least maybe some of that. You don't have to do all three.
The less you can ship your patients around.
Exactly.
It's more affordable. Mm-hmm. You get good outcomes. And you keep it more convenient mm-hmm. for the patient.
And you have more control over the case.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So back to this. And I'm going to ask Meredith this, okay? So, Meredith, what was the key? Because we went from doing, you know, probably, what, 10, 12 ortho cases a year to doing about 50 ortho cases a year. What do you think were some of the keys for us to get to that? I want you and Matt to kind of talk about that for a second.
Okay. I think the one key thing was having somebody available. I think the hygienist would take scans and maybe would start to bring it up. And I honestly think they would stop because they don't have time. If the patient was interested in Invisalign, they don't have time to present it.
Got it.
They didn't have, if there's no one to pass off, I mean, I hate to say that, but I think naturally they would just let it go by the wayside because they have to go get to the next patient. So having someone available to pass off, whether it be a treatment coordinator, an assistant, an Invisalign champion, I mean, even the front office.
And you were in the front, by the way, at the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I asked T-Bone, I said, can I take over Invisalign? He said, no. I was like, okay. The next day, I was like, can I take over Invisalign? He was like, no. Okay, well, I'm going to take over Invisalign. So I was like, if you guys have any patients that are interested in Invisalign, just bring them up to the front or call me in. I'll come back. And I think that was really the first step. Then I started to check the schedule the day before, look back at patients who had either brought up ortho or someone who I thought could use ortho.
Right.
And then I would mention it to the hygienist. And then that put it a bug in their ear to mention it to the patient. And then I think from there, it kind of all trickled down. We made it more affordable for patients. We put them on longer payment plans.
So talk to us about other. Matt, why don't you? You had mentioned this in your program today. I don't mean to interrupt you there, but let's talk. I think it's important because I think everybody gets many of the things that you're talking about to a certain degree. We don't execute. But I am convinced that even if we screw all of what you set up, if we get the affordability
right,
I am convinced that general dentists don't understand affordability when it comes to orthodontics.
Right.
And so I want us to talk a little bit about making it affordable in orthodontics. Because I think that's one of the keys. Because, listen, you had mentioned to me that you're in Yates Center, Kansas.
Right.
Okay. Population of 12, 13, 1400, whatever it is. Average income of $30,000.
Right.
Okay. And you're doing orthodontic cases, $5,000, $6,000. Okay. Yeah. So there has to be an affordability component to that.
Right. And that's the thing. Affordability is the biggest kind of, it's leveling the playing field. It makes your overall fee less, it doesn't matter as much. People are less fixated on that if you can make it affordable. Because, like, and I'll just say it on here, my Invisalign fee is $5,500 on average.
Right.
Now, I include the retention in that and all that stuff. That's bundle pricing and all. Yeah. Sure. But I just... so, you know, it's very much about the affordability, because people, especially with orthodontics, I find if you can make it affordable, people want to do it and will gladly do it.
So Meredith,
and if you won't do it, the orthodontist will.
Right. So, and so talk to me. I think the other disconnect on this is the dentist never asks why. Okay. So like we just say, oh, we're not doing it, our patients can't afford it. Meredith, what were some of the conversations patients would have with you when it came? Because patients want it.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, it's not that patients don't want it.
Right.
But then what prevented them from moving forward?
Schedules. Sometimes some people couldn't take off work for the ortho checks.
Okay. So how do we overcome that, Matt? In today's world, do you have to see your patient every month?
No. I would say my average number of trays, I usually have people on weekly trays, weekly changes. So I'm giving them it's taken a while for me to grow to this, right?
Mentally.
I don't expect people to be able to do this right away. But now that I can efficiently plan a case from the start and stage things and, you know, do my clinic checks properly and all that stuff. I'm usually giving folks about 10 to 12 trays.
Yeah. So the patient has to only come in once every couple of 3 months.
Right. Yeah.
And they're just sending you pictures in between.
If that, even yeah. then, and I teach them in the, in, or my assistants do, teach them on what things should look like. You deliver a new tray, it should fit, you shouldn't see a gap, all that stuff. And then if you have a question, snap a picture, email it, or text it to us, and we'll take a look. But now that people know what they're looking for and know what tracking means, if I don't hear from them, it's checking in
no
on
news
10.
Is good news.
Yeah, no news is good news, exactly. Yeah,
and that's kind of how it
And it doesn't hurt for us to call, to check in by text. Yeah. And I think that's part of it. So what I want to do is I want to kind of hear from Meredith what the objections were, and then I want us to debunk some of those things, right?
Yeah.
So patients said, I can't schedule it, I can't come in every month, because they remember from their own kids or their own childhood, it was an every month thing, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So that's one objection. So now we're in a day and age where we have 1 week wear for aligner therapy. Mm-hmm. We can see them less often because we can learn and diagnose and program cases, mm-hmm. not just rely on the cartoon to tell us how things are going to go. And then we, in an area that even we're not doing enough of, is leveraging virtual checks.
Right.
I mean, it's super, people take selfies all the time,
mm-hmm.
right? How hard would it
just
be to
zoom
take
in a little bit
like,
more.
Take a selfie like this, right? Mm-hmm. And send us a picture by text, right? And now suddenly we can check progress on patients and preemptively bring them in or say, hey, you're on your road to success. Keep down this path.
Yeah.
And so to me, that's an area that we can help minimize that objection. So what else is something else that you would hear, Meredith?
I actually did text most of my patients. Just it was easier. It was one less thing for them to have to call the office. They could text me while they were working. It made them feel better. They felt like I really cared, I think. But they could also, if there was a problem, they could easily send me a picture. But I only ever got pictures if there was a problem.
Right.
You know, so I never asked for pictures along the way. Another thing people said were, of course, price was probably, or affordability was probably
the number one thing. Let's talk about that, Matt. How do you make orthodontics more affordable in your practice?
Well, I mean, it comes down to monthly payments, whether that's in-house, whether that's third party, whatever. We can get into the nuances.
So the concept is people aren't it's not really that it's too expensive.
Yeah.
Price is not the issue. I've said this over and over again on the podcast. Affordability is the issue. Okay. Mm-hmm. So if I were a patient in your practice, what are your different programs for orthodontics?
Yeah, so I mean,
From
a financial perspective, you know, I have a sheet personally that I use chairside when I'm screening people, and it has all the orthodontic codes. So I choose basically if it's adolescent or if it's adult. Mm-hmm. Is it limited? Is it comprehensive?
Sure.
So it has the codes, and then I also because I've kind of fine tuned this over time. I look, is it a class 1, class 2, class 3? Because if you're treating a class 1 adult or a class 3 adult, the code is the same, but the price is sure as hell going to be different and stuff. So
the complexity is different.
Exactly, because the complexity is different. Your time, your involvement, everything's going to be different. So even though it's the same code. Mm-hmm. And so I have that screening form, and I just right there can check what I'm going to be doing and how much it's going to cost. I kick that over to my financial coordinator, and they know automatically what the options are.
Okay.
You know, we can do 0% percent financing for, you know, X amount of months, you know, 2 years, sorry, okay. like 2 years through
a third party service.
Third party service.
Okay.
Or if like they know, and we've trained over this. We've practiced this multiple times. If it's a bracket case, we need $500 down. If it's an Invisalign case, we need $1,500 down.
Okay.
If we're going to do in-house.
In-house, okay.
In-house. You know, with third party, we don't have any down payment needed for that.
Yeah. So, Meredith, what was our patient's response when we started creating these programs where they had different options of how they could pay for things?
Our cases doubled, tripled,
yeah.
quadrupled, yeah. even some months. I mean, I know 1 month February of all month, the shortest month of the year, I did 9 cases 1 year.
Yeah.
And I think it was just the beginning of the year. People were, by the time, you know, we actually delivered the case, it was February. Mm-hmm. So I think these people started at the beginning of the year. They wanted to do something for themselves. We made it affordable. Mm-hmm. We worked with them. I mean, there was mornings I came in early to see patients before they went to work. Now we have early morning hours anyways. But we kind of did things to make it patient-centric mm-hmm. a little bit more. Mm-hmm. It wasn't just... The overflow assistant was seeing them just when they came in. I know one patient said, when I first started, she said, I see a different person every time I come in. I have to explain my whole case every time I come in. I think you were in there when she said that, but that made us realize like we needed one person to kind of focus on them. That would be like, you know, being in a cosmetic case and seeing a different dentist every time you come in. Nobody would really want that. And so when people came in, you know, it was just touching base, just like the last time. And then we saw their progress and it made it a lot easier for them, a lot easier for the office. Everybody knew when an Invisalign patient called who had worked with them. Mm-hmm. It wasn't looking through the notes to see. So there was a lot of things, I think, that set us up for success.
Yeah. You know, coming back to the financial programs, and I'm a big believer in this, is I don't think that we need to offer 800 different ways of paying for things.
No.
Okay. I think like when you, and I know people hate it when I talk about car dealerships, okay? Mm-hmm. But there's something we need to learn from people. The average price of the car that's sold in this country has tripled. Okay. Mm-hmm. But you know, $10,000 cars still exist, but everybody wants a better car.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right. And the way they're doing it is when you walk in, you know, they present you with three choices of how you can pay for it. Right.
Yeah.
And you kind of mentioned two of them. So one of the things I believe that I want people that I want you to, that you, when you're listening to this is I want you, and you've heard us talk about the financial menu. Mm-hmm. I believe you have to have a custom financial menu for orthodontics.
Mm-hmm.
Where that points out patients can choose option A, B, or C for how they pay for it. Option A is you write a check, and that's one option. Mm-hmm. Option B is you can do zero down and X dollars per month through third-party financing. Mm-hmm. Option C is you can put X dollars down, and you have 12 months with zero interest to pay for it here in the office. And then that way you start with that. You don't start with a blank conversation with patients where you, now you're starting a negotiation.
Right.
I believe that you should lay it out to the patient and say, these are the programs
we offer
that we offer.
Right.
And it makes it easier. They don't have to think about things. They don't have to, your team members don't have to, you don't have to be so reliant on your team members of coming up with these things. And so you have to have a customized financial menu or menu basically for orthodontics that lay out not what the cost is.
Right.
Now we need to be transparent and, you know, certainly inform patients.
Absolutely.
But we got to lay out the different ways you can pay for it.
I think another thing with that, having it all laid out right there in front of you, is the confidence of presenting it.
Mm-hmm.
And these are the way we do this. These are our options versus it's this, but we might can do this or we could do this or
let me see
about that. Yeah. And it's like, they don't know what they're talking about. They feel like you don't know what they're talking about. I'm not going to do this. You know, presenting it clear, concise right there
in writing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And they can take it home. Yeah. You know, a lot of people, let me take it home and look over it with my husband.
Absolutely.
Well, if I don't hear from them in a week, I'm going to call them.
Uh-huh.
But if we didn't have, you know, if that was the hygienist, they don't have time to call them in a week.
Mm-hmm.
They have 8 patients that day.
Right.
So I think being clear and confident helps too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's the thing. Like, you know, we've talked about my demographics, 1300 people,
right.
Average household income of $30,000, you know, and yet we're able to do a lot of advanced dentistry, and it's because we really go out of our way to make it affordable.
Yeah, I'll argue you don't go out of your way. You're smart.
Well, yeah.
So people go out of their way to come to you.
I'll argue that you're not going out of your way. You're being smart. You're being streamlined.
Mm-hmm.
You're making... Look, if you go to the grocery store and you want to buy ketchup, and there's 8 different ketchups, you're typically going to leave with none.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, if you go to a grocery store and there's 3 ketchups, you're going to leave with one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because
too many options.
The more confusion you create,
the
less action there is.
Paralysis by analysis, all that stuff.
So get it down to 3. 90% of your patients will fall into that. And then those few patients that don't get into that category, then you can have a one-on-one conversation with them about it. Right. So I think that's super important. So thank you, Meredith, for talking about that. So let's come back to Matt here. What are the keys for a GP to get more comfortable and confident with orthodontics?
Yeah. My biggest thing for folks is getting solid diagnosis. You don't know what you don't know, right?
And when you mean diagnosis, I think I hear diagnosis and I think Seth, angle class this,
right.
Lee Meller, blah, 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 mm-hmm. GV Black mm-hmm. class that. Mm-hmm. What are you kind of meaning by diagnosis?
So I like to look at it, you know, almost it, like you talked about earlier mm-hmm. about a dentist who's highly trained in this stuff, yeah. especially restorative, being able to have better outcomes than right. an orthodontist. And because we see things from a restorative standpoint and a cosmetics and aesthetics mm-hmm. standpoint, I think for a dentist, especially if you have a good foundation in those things, I think you're kind of queued up for success in orthodontics because we can look at things not just from, like you said, skeletal classifications, mm-hmm. molar angles, you know, all that stuff. But we can look at where's the gingiva, where's the smile line? Where are you still looking at smile lines? Where's this at and what needs to happen with it and all that stuff?
Yeah.
And so basically, though, the only thing that's missing is understand how teeth move and how we can get the, like, what modalities, whether it's brackets or aligners or whatever, how do we make that happen? Like, that's really the missing key for GPs, is because it's not really being taught a lot.
You know, and so I took your two-day class, mm-hmm. okay, and I was a participant in it. And really what I boiled it down to is understanding the tooth movements, mm-hmm. okay, understanding limitations or compromises, mm-hmm. that aligners have, compromises that brackets have,
right.
okay, and developing a quick ability to say this case is for me, mm-hmm. or this case is not for me,
right?
Not having that mentality that I got to do every single case, mm-hmm. and I, you know, what I talked to you about in the car is I want to develop a red light, yellow light, green light system,
right?
Where we can say based on the level, like your green light is very different from my green
right.
light,
right? Yeah, exactly.
You know, uh-huh. but for me, I think what happens is we get disillusioned or unconfident because we start a case that we probably shouldn't have started. Yeah. We didn't recognize something that was critically important.
Right.
And I think to me, that's the key of diagnosis, mm-hmm. is not the skeletal and the class. Because again, I'm generally talking about adult comprehensive mm-hmm. adult cosmetic orthodontics, mm-hmm. People that are essentially working on premolars forward.
Right.
Okay. Just knowing which cases you can take on mm-hmm. and not take on and pre-seeing mm-hmm. some of the things. So some of the things that I want to talk about is that I've never really done a lot of, but we're starting to see more and more of this specific to aligners, is understanding attachments. Mm-hmm. Okay. Understanding auxiliaries. Mm-hmm. Okay. So if you don't mind, talk to us a little bit about some of the auxiliaries that you see yourself using with aligner therapy.
Yeah, so, you know, auxiliaries, it really depends on the goal of the case, mm-hmm. you know, because if I am, you know, buttons, elastics, mm-hmm. that type of stuff can be beneficial, but if you're focusing on cosmetic ortho, they're going to have some limitations,
right.
you know. I honestly don't use a whole lot of auxiliaries except for more comprehensive, yeah. if I'm trying to get a more stabilized occlusion, if I'm trying to move back the premolars mm-hmm. and molars, get them in a better bite and into the embrasures and stuff. But like attachments, so say you go through any aligner certification and you run it through their cartoon, yeah. their video game, and all of a sudden it spits out these buttons
right.
on these teeth, these attachments on these teeth, and you just accept it. Like,
right.
you just accept it because you don't really know any better. You don't know how these things work or why they're working or why maybe something you should substitute it for something else, because the computer is just pumping out an algorithm. It's not critical thinking. Mm-hmm. And so putting our doctor hat on and learning how teeth move, but also what these do, and having a system for it. That's the biggest thing, because we, as GPs, we do all of these different things. We wear all of these different hats. And so if we bring something on, something kind of needs to be cookbook in a way. Something, and you need a systemized way of thinking about it, right?
Yeah.
And so that's my biggest thing, is being able to learn a system, a way to think, a checklist that you work through to help you keep all of this in your head. And so that way it becomes more efficient, and it becomes more predictable, and it becomes a lot more enjoyable. And you kind of troubleshoot some of the stuff that leads to those frustrations that you were talking about. A lot of those frustrations happen because we missed something at the beginning. Kind of like how you were talking about, you guys are like, hey, I do that case. And then we deep dive into it more. And all of a sudden you're like, oh, well, that's why we had hangups. And learning what that is, that's crucial for me.
Yeah, you know, it's like everything else we do in dentistry. We learn from our failures.
Right.
But what we realize after the fact is we should never started that one.
Right.
It doesn't mean we shouldn't do the service.
Right.
We have to get in the mindset that we don't have to do every case
exactly
that walks in. Mm-hmm. You know, Meredith, you probably remember several cases where we're like, you were probably shaking your head, like, why is he taking this on?
Yeah, for sure. And I know your assistant, too. She's like,
no,
because she knows she's going to be the one.
Uh-huh. Or the personality of the patient.
Right.
Even.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's been a lot of that where we're like, maybe the orthodontist would be best for you.
Yeah. So in conclusion, kind of wrapping things up, we believe that GP should be doing more orthodontics.
Yeah.
Because it's not just money.
Right.
Okay, don't get me wrong. That's an important part of it. Okay, we want to grow our practices.
Right.
But I want us to understand that there are times where we are better at it.
Right.
We are a better choice for patients.
Right.
Okay. But we also have to protect our profession by getting some education.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
By continuing that education and by understanding some of the fundamentals and then understanding what to avoid, how things work so that we can get great outcomes.
Right.
And then we have to find a way to execute our plan because nothing beats profitability up by more than doing refinements, lost brackets,
inefficiencies,
seeing patients every other week for whatever number of reasons. So we got to find a way to be more predictable in that sense. And then we got to find a way to get patients to sell the treatment. Okay, to accept the treatment.
Right.
And that's by having conversations built around health, having conversations built around affordability, and having I don't want to use the word dedicated person, but having a person that the patient sees every single time. It may be every assistant in your practice, but that patient comes to that assistant each time because because I used to joke orthodontist did nothing because that's why I wanted to be an orthodontist. I clearly didn't have the grades to get in because I heard that they never had to deal with blood or anything. We just need to be more committed to it is really what it boils down to.
And we have to get educated on it.
Yeah.
And we have to learn and open and have our eyes opened to it.
So I'm excited, Meredith, to develop our adult cosmetic orthodontics program where we're going to teach people how to do cosmetic orthodontics using aligner therapy, using bracket therapy, using diagnosis, understanding the cartoons, the simulation, looking at what staging cases, optimizing attachments, optimizing auxiliaries like buttons and rubber bands when important, to minimize when you need to use them, but understand when you need to proactively put those things on, especially highly rotated premolars and canines, things like that. Understanding how to prevent open bites. Because understanding the mechanics of aligners on molars, understanding the intrusion effect of wearing trays 22 hours, 23 hours a day, understanding some of those things. And then And then part of the training is getting assistants involved, understanding photography, mm-hmm. understanding communication, understanding financial arrangements, understanding how to use the software, how to write prescriptions, yep. how to make it so that, you know, I love it when my assistant is able to pre-get things before I finally see it.
Right.
She's like, I've already sent this back a couple of times. I've had this, this, and this adjusted. Here's where we're at. This mm-hmm. is, you know, and yeah. being able to establish virtual connections with patients mm-hmm. so that way we can track progress, mm-hmm. see them a little bit less often, but continue to see them,
right?
But just not in a physical way. Mm-hmm. So I'm excited about being able to offer that for everybody listening, because ortho is a great part. I mean, it's a big part of your practice.
Yeah, it's a quarter. It's at least 25% of my practice, if not more. So
yeah, and I want it to be 25% of my yeah. practice too.
And it's a great way for team members to grow.
Exactly.
I know, you know, I was like, oh yeah, ortho's cool. And then the more I understood it, I'm like, I was more invested in it mm-hmm. and I did better with it mm-hmm. because I understood what was going on. So I think a lot of team members are scared because they don't understand it
right.
and they feel overwhelmed.
Yeah.
So this training will be good.
Or they get the brunt of when the patient comes in
right.
with frustration.
All they hear right. is complaints.
Right.
You so. Know, and then they really don't have the answer for them.
And
that's hard.
You asked about kind of steps to success, mm-hmm. right? The biggest thing, the next thing after getting the doctor educated, and ideally they also get their assistant mm-hmm. educated. They create an ortho champion, and they get right. they grow with them, right? But it's really getting wins under your belt, learning what you like. You said what you should and should not treat. Sticking to what you should treat and getting those victories for yourself, yeah. your inner confidence, for your team, building their confidence in themselves and in you. And that is how, that's how we lay that foundation to then build upon. And our team can take more on, you can delegate more, you become more efficient, more profitable, all that good stuff, but they feel better about what they're doing. They feel better about themselves, and they're going to carry that confidence into talking to patients about things.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Confidence mm-hmm. is so key mm-hmm. in everything that we do.
Yeah.
Well, Matt, how can our listeners get in touch with you?
Yeah. So you can find me on the interwebs on Facebook.
Al Gore invented it.
Yeah. I'm sure he did. And so you can find me on Facebook under, you know, Matthew Standards. I do have a education page, Matthew Standards, GDS, FAGD. I'm on like Instagram under my alter ego at Ketodonist, my other passion project. But, yeah. Find me on there, shoot me a message. You can email me at ketodonist@gmail.com.
It's probably the easiest way. Ketodonist@gmail.com.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, people can find me.
Yeah. yeah. And if you're interested in learning more about our adult cosmetic orthodontics program, just reach out to Meredith. Check us out on 3d-dentist.com. We'll have information there soon. But in the meantime, check out with Meredith about getting more information and getting on the wait list for as soon as we release that program. And like everything else, here's what you know that we're going to do at 3D Dentist. We're going to provide you a program that is fun, that is direct to the point, that cuts out the fluff, that is actionable and implementable in your practice. And that's what we're known for, and that's what we strive to do, and we will continue to work tirelessly to help you grow your practice so that you can earn more money, take more time off, and do more of the dentistry that you love. And I want every dentist that owns a practice, I want your goal to be to not do fillings anymore. Fillings are the enemy of dental practice owners. There are associates and young dentists that should be doing dental school type dentistry, and you as an owner should be working on doing more advanced dentistry. Advanced dentistry is not something, in my opinion, that you bring an associate into your practice for. It is something you, the owner, the practicing owner, needs to get done. And then teach your associate that so that you can move into more of a ownership vision role for your practice. Sleep, ortho implants. We've got the sleep covered. We got the implants covered. We're hopefully going to be working with Matt. I'm putting him on the spot to make it happen. But we want to get the ortho covered without with being agnostic, with having freedom to talk about the pluses and minuses of systems.
Yes.
And to not make it feel like you have to use one way of doing things. And it's not just aligners. It's not just brackets. It's about having all tools in your tool belt to be able to handle these cases with support and follow-up. So again, thank you for tuning in this week. Thank you, Matt, for being here. Thank you, Meredith, for taking time out on a Saturday evening to do this recording. And we will see everybody next week.
Thanks so much for listening to T-Bone Speaks with Dr. Tarun Agarwal. Remember to keep striving for excellence, and we'll catch you on the next episode.